Hey, this is Marcus Guevara, and yes, you are correct. You're listening to Thirst for Truth Live with myself, Marcus Guevara, which I just said. Or actually, I'm sorry, I have to say Marcus Guevara now, because Diane was giving me stuff for saying Guevara, which I don't know, to me it's just the, you know, English more natural pronunciation. For many people, they have a hard time with saying my name when they're just looking at it, the spelling. So, and that last time you pointed out that I was going a little Nacho Libre, so I might as well just go full distance and just say you are listening to Thirsting for Truth with Marcus Guevara and Alicia Franco, which I'm not sure the Italian way to say that.
Well, technically, I guess Alicia isn't an Italian name, but I guess Franco is. Actually, I'm not Franco. Sure that I'm totally Italian, but
it would be like
I don't really want to know.
My name is Alicia Franco, capisce?
Yeah.
You want to be sleeping with the fishes? That's the Italian way to say Alicia Franco.
That's how it goes. That's right.
Okay. So we had some technical difficulties and we're starting a little bit late because we tried to do a Facebook Live that just didn't work.
But we're here.
But we're here. Started from the middle. We're still just slightly above the middle. So have you been? I feel like I haven't talked to you in a week. Feel like
well, I've been good. Well, you had DJ on last week, which we should give a shout out. It's DJ's birthday today.
It is DJ's birthday. In fact, watch this.
He's probably not even listening, DJ.
So here's watch this. Okay, we're gonna try and see. Let's see if we can give him a call real quick.
This was not planned. This is spontaneous on the show, everybody.
That's absolutely correct. So yeah, it is DJ's birthday, and he's quite a guy, that DJ. So. He deserves a spontaneous phone call on a live podcast.
I was actually just texting him, so I know he has his phone.
Hold on, can you hear Sling right now? I mean, Sling, Skype?
Yeah, a little bit. It's very quiet, but I can hear it.
Come on, DJ. I hope is right on you, pal. Answer the phone. Well, the real thing is that I meant to call him earlier to tell him happy birthday, and I just didn't. And
you have reached the voicemail box of.
Alright, we'll just leave him a voicemail.
0573962 4.
Hey DJ, this is Marcus Guevara and Alicia Franco, and we just wanted to wish you a really happy birthday on a live podcast. And I bet you this is the kind of gift that you've never received before ever in your life.
This is a live birthday gift.
That's correct. And there are other people who are involved in this. You can't hear their voices, but they're listening and they want you to know that they also wish you a happy birthday. And, you know, you're a wonderful person and you got a lot of good things going for you. And, I don't know, in all seriousness, hey, I'm happy to be your friend of many years. So, happy birthday to you, DJ. I wish you had answered this, but I don't know. Save this voicemail because it might be famous one day. I mean, just among us in small circles. So, anything, Alicia?
He can hear me, right?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. If he can't hear me, then relay the message. DJ. Answer your phone. I was just texting you and you didn't respond. If you answered your phone, I said happy birthday.
That was a long thing. Okay, answer your phone if you didn't respond. I was just texting you happy birthday. I think I got the gist of it. That's what Alicia said, if you couldn't hear her. All right. Okay, DJ. See you later, buddy. I don't know what happened to me. I don't know what happened to my tongue. It started going in weird directions. All right. So, you know what? Maybe he didn't recognize the phone number I was calling from.
Oh. I'll listen to that later and laugh.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. What if none of it came out? That's fine. So, I thought since tomorrow is Halloween, we could discuss the topic. That's basically it. I mean, in a nutshell. And I'm hoping to get some participation from people on Facebook. So, I'm going to do a quick post. But I know you had... is there any old business to take care of? Anything You wanna?
I don't have any old business. I wanna talk about some new stuff. So okay. Let's see what you think.
So I got some stuff, but what do you want to talk about as far as Halloween goes? I mean, how's the holiday for you? Is it a big thing? Is it a small thing?
Well, now it's a big thing because I have nieces and nephews. So I have niece and nephew. So they might be trick or treating. We're trying to figure all that out because, as you know, having kids, they're sick. So we're trying to figure out if they'll feel better tomorrow, if it's going to happen. Or I'll just see what friends are doing and hand out candy, but there's always something going on. What are you guys doing?
Well, on Saturday we did something called a trunk or treat, which sounds kind of scary. Actually, if you think about it, it's very scary sounding. But, it was kind of cool. I didn't expect it. I thought people just parked their car in a parking lot, opened their trunks, and had candy in their trunks, and...
But that's what it sounds like.
But it's not how it works. So the funny thing is that what happened is that everybody goes to a parking lot, so it was a large parking lot, but there was a bunch of cars that it was a decorating contest. So, you know, they decorated the cars like Star Wars, and they wore the costumes, and there was Mario and Little Jungle and I don't know, stuff like that. And they were the ones that gave out the candy. And I thought that was pretty cool. And it was, I gotta tell you, the coolest part about it is there was not a whole lot of walking, right? Because you just go from car to car and mm-hmm. you get candy and you can look at cool. And none of them were like scary. They were like very creative, clever, fun yeah. stuff, you know? So.
That's cool. Is that a tradition? How long has that been going on?
I think it's a thing, like, not just here, but they do it inside the neighborhood, but I think it's a thing. Just overall, I've heard of people doing trunk or treat around the country and stuff, and it's probably, you know, the safer way to trick
yeah,
or treat.
Yeah.
So we did that.
I have a question.
Yeah. What's your question?
You made me think of something.
That's not a question. That's a statement.
That's a statement. Here's the question.
Okay.
When you were talking about, you know, I don't know how long this is going on, since you are writing right now. As we're discussing our Halloween plan, since you're writing to our general audience, I would like to know if anybody knows, or maybe you know, how long have we, either as a country or as, you know, the whole world, been celebrating Halloween?
Well, that's a good question, and one I don't have the answer to, but I could easily Google it. And I'm not going to, though, because then it's too easy. But I will tell you, I had another question that was similar to that. And my question was, where did the name Halloween come from? Because it's a very funny name, Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was Hallow's Eve, and then turned into some guy who was dressed up as a weenie. And they're like, hey, we'll just change the name, because you had a great idea.
Well, I know Halloween. It's supposed to be All Hallows' Eve, but I don't know how Eve turned into Een.
I just told you. You were listening?
I was listening.
The guy dressed up as a weenie.
No.
Okay, Oscar Mayer?
Yeah.
Oscar Mayer, they have the rights on Halloween. Actually, so we'll get to some serious stuff in a second, but here's another kind of non-serious thing. I mean, it's real. It's not a joke, but it's not deep thought. I didn't know this until recently that the Happy Birthday song was copyrighted. Which is why, you couldn't, like, that's why, you know, it's never in movies or anything else. Like, you can't, it just recently, I think, like, in the last year or something, they lost the copyright. So now you're going to see it in movies or maybe whatever. But
man, who had the rights to that?
I don't know. I don't.
Whoever it was, they were banking.
That's right. Exactly. I had no idea. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's funny.
Random fact for the day, everybody.
So here's the stuff that I'm really wanting to discuss on, you know, because I like having fun and messing around on these shows, but of course we do this, we you know, are spending the time here, not just to have fun, as much as having fun with you is fun, but to have some conversations on things that, you know, are of real value. So here's the thing that I was thinking about as far as Halloween goes. And I guess this actually got triggered because we went to Busch Gardens, which up here in the Northeast, there's it's a theme park like Six Flags, you know, in San Antonio. And Busch Gardens is, for one, is huge and it's awesome. It's a super, super cool theme park. But anyway, so so we went to the park and they had, you know, the Halloween theme going, right? I guess I should have done a little more research, but it was crazy. Like, I don't know if it's because I have four. Yes. Super. I mean, not for me, but for the kids, you know, like, mm-hmm. I guess I haven't really, since I've had kids and, you know, we hang out at home and I do ministry stuff, I work, and like, I don't really like to go out. I think I've said that before, that I'm more of a homebody. It's funny to think about that, because you think a lot of times, like, speakers and people who like to, go out and evangelize or whatever, that they're these big extroverts, and I can hang out with people, like, I do well in crowds or whatever, but my preference is usually just to kind of hang out and be low-key with just a few people. But I don't know, I mean, I don't go to, like, Halloween parties, and I don't really do festivities during the seasons and stuff. I mean, I just, again, I like being with my family. So I don't know if it's because I'm so far removed or what, but, like, I can't believe how crazy Halloween has become. I mean, I know that people like to wear scary costumes and stuff, and that's been going on for a while, but...
Did you see DJ's text?
Yeah, he just texted me saying that it was hilarious, but he couldn't hear you, so... Well, I mean, at least I relayed the message.
So you were surprised?
I was very surprised
at
how grotesque. But and it wasn't, again, it's not just that. I know that there are people, when people go to Halloween parties and stuff, you know, like young adults or whatever, they wear crazy costumes, and I get that. But at a theme park that's meant for families, you know, I was mm-hmm. really surprised at how, like, again, grotesque it was. They mm-hmm. had it everywhere, just their posters with, like, zombies, and very, again, ugly, scary looking zombies, dummies, which those are the scariest thing in the world to me, those little dummy, like Night of the Living Dummy from in the day, Goosebumps.
Oh, that scared me all. Oh, I couldn't watch that one.
Those ventriloquist dummies, well, they had these ones with and posters with no, like, with white eyeballs, and then and then they had, there was this one area where there was, like, a row, and there was like at least between 10 and 20 crosses, wooden crosses, with a skeleton hanging on the side of it. And it wasn't hanging like a crucifix would hang. It was hanging from the, you know, side, which is still very odd, right? The crosses had webs on them and, you know, spiders. And my oldest asked me about it and said, "Hey, is that's like Jesus?" And I kind of had to explain that to her,
because she said that.
Yeah, she was disturbed. I mean, they, like, we had to keep trying to, like, okay, don't look over there. Like, let's look down.
Yeah, cover their eyes and stuff.
But then again, it got worse. So then there was, like, an area where they had a robot, like a headless, you know, character, and they had these, like, monsters that were on these, like, torture chamber things, you know, with their, like, inside, their, like, stomach chest area was, like, split open and looked like they were being operated on. It was just really, really horrible.
Aww, they're probably so scared.
Exactly. And I mean, yeah, so we stayed away from those areas, and when we went through those areas, we you know, told them to look down. We tried to talk to them, we explained it, and, you know, we still had some fun, but obviously I'm never gonna be going back there during Halloween again. And I was surprised, for one, that, again, a family place was like that. And we didn't get any, like, warnings on the website, you know, hey, it may not be appropriate for kids or what have you, when we signed up for it, which makes me think that, again, this is a normal thing, because we saw a lot of families there, a lot of kids, a lot of very young kids. And the worst part about it is it gets really bad at night. So... Mm-hmm. We were planning that, we kind of sort of knew that we were planning to leave, and it got dark, but everybody was hungry, so we got some food on site, and then we were walking out, and it was already dark, and as we were walking out, then that's when we started seeing people walking around with, you know, bloodied costumes, holding large knives and
poor kids.
And yeah, so I mean, you know, we were kind of shielding them a little bit and whatnot. But as we were walking out of the park, we saw people walking in with little kids, you know?
Mm.
Which again, it tells me that again, this is something that's not for us. It was somewhat scandalous, but for a lot of people it's like, it's just Halloween. And this is kind of my question to you, right? At what point is it just an excuse for, you know, like, is there a line somewhere, you know, that Halloween is no longer a season where we're just kind of celebrating and having fun, where we're using it as an excuse to indulge in, you know, the curiosities of demonic natures and just say, well, it's all in good fun. It's just Halloween, right?
I think this is just one of many topics where our society has just been kind of saturated with extremism. I guess I think it kind of gradually became what it is, and it's not just a topic for Halloween. I mean, just look at the way we dress, you know, that has evolved in itself. Where the things we wear today, if we wore them 100 years ago, I mean, people would have just scoffed. And I mean, still do, but...
Do you mean like as far as modesty or do you...
Yeah, sure. So even just like, I don't know how long ago it became scandalous just to show one's ankle. And you know, now women and men wear shorts. You know, I wonder what that must look like to somebody, you know, that lived 100 years ago.
Sorry, I didn't know if I was muted or not. I couldn't tell. I'm really scared now about this because, you know, one time I went into a coughing fit and you didn't know. You had no idea. You're just there talking to me. But yet everybody else who's listening can hear that I'm struggling to breathe and I'm dying.
That's funny.
So.
But anyway, my point was that, I mean, that was just one topic that I kind of grasped at. But looking at Halloween, I mean, it hasn't always been this way. It's kind of gradually become this. And I think people going to just this theme park, they're used to it. You know, that's what, maybe it's not that scary to them, but I can't see how bringing little kids in. I mean, this is their... maybe their first or second time seeing something like this, and it's really scary to them. I mean, what you described, I didn't even see it, and that sounds scary to me, and I'm an adult.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing is, like, even for me, I don't really enjoy that stuff anymore. And I have to admit, though, that there was a time where, you know, I thought it was cool and funny to... you know, to watch horror films. I mean, and it's really, I guess now that I think about it, and this is one of the reasons I really like doing this podcast, is sometimes I, talking on certain subjects, I start thinking about things and that I haven't thought about in a very long time, or that I normally wouldn't just sit around and think about. I mean, well, I do, but I wouldn't be recording those thoughts.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In a conversation with somebody else. And so... I remember, I have a horrible memory, but one of my earliest memories that I do have is when, I mean, I was very young. I have no idea how old, but I was still in El Paso, so it was under 11 years old, so it was probably between 5 and 8 years old, I'm guessing. I have a memory of when some of my older cousins and me, I don't know, maybe my parents or, you know, some people at the house were watching Friday the 13th. It was either Friday the 13th or it was Child's Play with Chucky. Both of those, which were terrifying. Chucky was more terrifying for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I remember going behind the TV. So I had been very young because I wouldn't have done this kind of, I was too cool to do this at, you know, 9, 10, or 11 years old. But I remember going behind the TV, still hearing, all, you know, although still hearing the movie, but just being terrified. And
aww.
And yeah, running behind the TV, and And again, it's like we would never expose ourselves or our kids to real situations like that, right? Mm-hmm. If we were, you know, walking around downtown and we saw some people get into a fight and somebody pulls out a knife and starts, you know, stabbing and murdering somebody, we would never let our kids, you know, sit there watching in enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it okay, you know, for them to watch? I mean, it's no less real to them on when they're watching on a TV because they don't understand what's going on, right? You can tell them, like, oh, it's not real, but I have a problem watching things like that and it not feeling real to me, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so for little kids, there's no way that they can process that and just be like, ah, it's just entertainment. So why is it okay? Why do we think that it's okay to expose them to this kind of thing and think that there's not going to be some kind of lasting effect, you know what I mean? Some mm-hmm. impression on them. So what are your... Jump in at any time. I mean, you don't... If
Well, first of all, the thought that's occurring to me right now is, again, this is something that we wouldn't have had to think about 100 years ago because we wouldn't have had TV, film, movies. It wasn't necessarily a thing to go to the movies all the time.
Well, I don't know.
100 years ago, but what kind of things are we going to be thinking about 100, 200 years from now that we can't fathom now? That's what's really scary to me.
I mean, I can understand where you're coming from, but I do think that there's in every age there's a relative, you know, there's a parallel that matches up, you know, in such a way that I don't think that, you know, ages get worse necessarily. Because if you think about it, there were plays back in the day, you know, where people would die, but there was also, you know, times when they would actually put people in a coliseum to fight to the death, literally.
That's true.
Which is
good point.
Not nearly as bad as, you know, us putting it on movies.
That was real.
You know what I mean?
That's not Hollywood. Hey, let's get some fake blood and see how real we can make this look. That's real death.
Right. So,
and people found it entertaining.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying is that, like, it's all there's always people generally are always the same in every age. In every place, right? And the struggles tend to be the same. And this is kind of where, again, this is why, to me, I think a lot of times, and I don't mean to, like, you know, call you out on this, I think that everybody does this, including myself in many cases, but we have an easy time looking back and criticizing people for, you know, certain things that we don't struggle with, or looking at current standpoints and criticizing people for things that, you know, we didn't see the previous generation struggle with, when usually it's about the same, right? I don't see that there's a great difference in people from long ago and from now. Generally, the sins are the same, the struggles are the same. And the funny thing is, I think, you know, we always think that we get smarter and we're so much better than, you know. I know you were actually saying the opposite, but a lot of times, we carry this sort of arrogance that, you know, oh, at least we're not like, you know, those people back then. They were so ignorant and they were evil and so on and so forth. But we can never see in our own age the issues that we have, that we struggle with, and how they sort of match up. You know what I mean? So, like, for example, what I'm saying right now, a lot of people are probably would write this off pretty easily. Like, you know, that's just Halloween. Come on, you know, lighten up a little bit. But during the Roman times, when they were throwing people in the Colosseum and watching lions eat people alive, you know, they would be the same thing. If somebody spoke out on it, like, hey, do you not see the problem with this? The implications here, like, this is mm-hmm. not right. And people, you know, in that age, because it was normal, would write those kind of people off and say, come on, like, you know, this isn't a big deal. Everybody does. It's normal. You need to lighten mm-hmm. up and just enjoy the show, kind of thing. I see it kind of the same way. Now, I'm not saying that Halloween is necessarily the same thing as, you know, the Colosseum where they have lions eating people or people fighting each other to the death. But here's where I think that there's great similarity and reason to be cautious, and you can tell me whether or not you feel like this is, I don't know, if you agree, if this is too far or what have you. But what I see with Halloween, and I don't, again, I don't think that it's just gotten here suddenly. I think that this has happened over time. And we had Jason from Friday the 13th and Chucky from Child's Play decades ago. So it's not like this is, again, a brand new thing. But my concern is this fascination with the demonic world. You know, that, again, pushing the envelope to, you know, the creepy, the eerie, the deadly, and so on and so forth. Where it's not really, again, it's not so much about dressing up as characters as it is indulging in this lust that we have, you know, to experience this world in a way that where we believe there are no consequences. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's kind of similar to what, you know, viewing pornography. We can lust after a person without actually sexually harassing the person. That's what we believe, at least, right? You know, that it's like, okay, well, I'm in sort of a safe container where I can do this and experience this, and there's not going to be any you know, backfire. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of how I feel about Halloween, is that it's, you know, it's a safe container, sorry, to indulge in mm-hmm. you know, sort of the evil arena, and be like, well, because it's just fun, it's not real. Mm-hmm. But again, that doesn't mean that it's any less dangerous to, how do you say this, to glorify demonic things like murder mm-hmm. and yeah. serial killers, and you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think that's the perfect way to say it.
Is that it, or did you have...
You're definitely going to... Yeah, that was... I mean... I definitely think you're gonna get some backlash on that too, but it is glorifying it in a way.
Yeah, well, I mean, so I don't care about that. But let's go to the other side really quick too. So let's try to understand this, right? Let's be sort of objective and not look at this from an emotional kind of thing. So what's the good in Halloween? I mean, we talked a little bit about it before, like, you know, the trick-or-treating thing, people decorating their cars, dressing up, well, decorating their houses and trunk-or-treat situations, their cars, dressing up as cool characters from, you know, dressing up as people from Star Wars or Superman mm-hmm. and other great DC characters or silly Marvel characters. I don't know if you got
yeah,
that. I'm a DC guy. But anyway, go ahead.
I don't think there's any harm in that. I mean... benefit of it?
Well, I mean,
let me think about that. But what would you
I
say?
Mean, I the benefit to me there is just it's fun. It's like, you know, there's mm-hmm. there's it's a day where you get to be silly.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that,
right? I mean, it's you're sort of becoming a kid again, sort of, right?
Yeah.
But at what point again? Like, where is so? You know, what's the whole purpose of Halloween? I mean, holidays generally are supposed to call us to remember something, to recognize something. The reason we institute holidays is because they're supposed to be, again, an observance of something. So Martin Luther King Day is there to help us remember, you know, who he was and what he did. Christmas, you know, obviously we know that one, the birth of Jesus Christ. And, you know, again, what we get from that is those things, like a birthday, and shout out to Daniel Bernal Jr. He doesn't like to be called DJ anymore because he's an adult.
Oh, whatever.
So shout out to Danny Boy on his birthday. But birthdays, you know, they help us to recall the importance of a person's life, right? So that just like we did earlier, we called and we said, hey, we appreciate you, man. We're glad that, you know, you're in our life, that God blessed you with life and blessed us with your friendship. So we want to make sure that you remember, or that you know, that we appreciate you and recognize you. I mean, that's what a birthday is there for. So what is Halloween really doing, right? I mean, is it calling us to, you know, remember that there's such thing as evil and we can have fun with it, or is it something else? Any guesses? Any?
Well, this is what I remember from my good old Catholic school days, so correct me if I misspeak on any of this, but what I remember is that with All Saints Day being on November 1st, also called All Hallows, Halloween, All Hallows Eve, somehow became the precursor to that day to dress up as the saints and celebrate them, and then somehow it just turned really scary. That's all that I remember.
So,
am I way off?
No. But All Hallows Eve was technically, I think, what Halloween was called, you know, before, and it's turned into Halloween. It was kind of interchangeable. But no, November 1st, what you were talking about is All Saints Day.
All Saints Day.
So, yeah, so this is where, if you do a little bit of research and you look into, like, the origins of Halloween, and I just pulled up a, if I do a quick Google search, I don't know the name of it, it's something weird to pronounce, but the origin of Halloween says Samhain or whatever, that's, like, I guess the original. Huh? Samhain?
Samhain. It's pronounced Samhain.
What? Why did they put an M in there?
I don't know.
All right, whatever. So let's see what it hit. If I look at Google, first thing it pulls from, history.com, so you know it's legit, is Halloween's origins.
You can't put anything on the internet that
isn't true. Who? What?
I said you can't put anything on the internet that isn't true.
That's right, and everybody knows that, actually. So it's it's well known. So Halloween's origins date back to the ancient Celtic festival of you're right, it says pronounced Samhain. Even though it's spelt Samhain. I was thinking about that, right? Like, when I have a kid, I'm like, we should name him Jake, but it's spelled T-O-M. But it's pronounced Jake. I don't understand
what
why.
What language is that? I don't know.
The Celts? Celtic? It's, I don't, honestly, you're calling me out on geography. I've always been terrible with that. Celtics probably were one of the barbarians in the Middle East, way back in, well, I guess the time of Christ, if this thing says 2,000 years ago. But anyway, mind. Okay. Ireland.
I just looked it up while you were looking for that. It says it's Gaelic, Scottish Gaelic.
Okay, whatever.
There you go.
Interesting. Samhain. Now, see, everybody's learning some good stuff. Samhain.
We learned some Gaelic today.
So, all right. So anyway, so this is a custom where, and you can see how, you know, the great preparation we've done for this. But this is cool because this is kind of how I learn about stuff, right? Is ask somebody, we don't know, so we Google it together. We both come up with wrong answers, but we confirm each other in our wrongness until we believe that we're right. but no, the church is actually great at this. The church is great at recognizing, customs, cultural customs that are problematic, but ultimately are aiming for something, right? Like, we know that there's something there, and I'll explain what that there is in a second, but there's something that we're reaching for, and, I don't know if we've explained this before, but the Catholic Church teaches that sin is technically when you're aiming for a target and you miss the target, right? So the word sin literally means without or to lack or to miss the target, right? And so if you're lacking something, like say love, and you're aiming to get love, and you aim incorrectly, you hit the wrong target, you miss the target, then technically that's what the church would call a sin. Which is why when we talk about lust, you know, we know everybody has in their heart a desire for love and affection and intimacy. And, you know, something like rape is a grasp at that love and that intimacy that we desire, but it's ultimately missing the target. And there are some situations where, like rape, where you miss it, you know, so grotesquely that I don't know if grotesquely is a word. If you miss it, just, you know, so bad that, again, rape is one of those things where it's very easy to see. Everybody can see, like, yep, that's bad, and we're all on the same page there. But there's some situations where you only slightly miss the target, and, you know, people have an issue with, like, I don't know. Like, did he hit the target? Did he not hit the target? Like, watch it. Looking from a distance, it looks like he kind of hit it, right? You know, those are the situations where, like, a young teen or whatever, it's like, well, you know, I'm having sex with my boyfriend or my girlfriend because I know that we love each other. I feel like it's love. So ultimately, they just can't discern, you know, whether it's actually hitting the target or not. And so the whole point of that is to say that, you know, in any situation, the church recognizes that, you know, people are always aiming for good, though. Like, there's always some good that they recognize and they want to go after. They might be lazy about it. They might be impatient and trying to grasp at it. But ultimately, what they're going for is something good. Mm-hmm. And so All Saints Day was actually meant to sort of overtake, you know, this Samsonite. That's it. All Saints Day was meant to overtake that with, you know, hey, here's ultimately what I think you're going for, right? Like, you have a desire for something, you know, for some kind of truth or knowledge or what have you. Okay, well, let me give it to you. If I give it to you, it's almost like setting up one day, I think McDonald's is going to be mad at me, but I give them business. So I always bring, I don't know why, just it's an easy example. A lot of people get it really quickly. But I'm going to have to spend some time coming up with other examples so people don't think that I just, you know, dog on McDonald's all the time. I buy their stuff, so I'm giving them business. Let's think of what's a healthy alternative, like Panera, I don't know.
Panera Bread, there you go.
Panera, okay. So it would be similar to a Panera setting up shop right across the street from McDonald's. So that when people come from McDonald's, right, they're hungry, and you're like, well, hey, we know you're hungry. We know you want food, but don't go there, you know, because, like, well, don't go there all the time because, you know, it's eating McDonald's all the time is not going to be good for you. Eating Panera all the time is still not going to be good for you either. But at the very least, you know, you can say, oh, yeah, maybe they're a healthier option. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to invite people to say, like, hey, we're a better option for you. Come here. And they literally place themselves strategically right in front of McDonald's so that people coming for McDonald's will see that there is another option, a truer option. I don't know why Panera would be a truer option. I'd probably go to McDonald's. You know what I mean? But you get what I'm saying. Like, they set up the banquet right in front of the dumpster to say, hey, you're hungry. Why go to the dumpster? Come to the banquet. And so here's something that, you know, I want your thoughts on. This has kind of been my idea about, let me see how much time we have left in the show. All right, we got plenty of time. So my idea about this subject has always been that, you know, even growing up, I had this fascination, like, with wanting to know and understand, again, like, a lot of the darkness that's in the world and, you know, what is it about, why is it there, and, you know, so on and so forth. And then a lot of the natural questions come up, like, well, how can there be a good God and also be evil in the world? Why doesn't he just wipe out all the evil and whatever, right? If we have enough time, maybe we go into that stuff, but that's not really what this show is about, because I remember aiming for that and missing wildly. I remember watching, and I don't want to give out, I'm not going to give out the names of these things, because then you know, I don't want to encourage people to go out there and research them. If you look hard enough, you can find it, but I don't want to plant seeds of the titles of the things in people's minds. But there were certain websites, certain videos that back in, like, the 90s and early 2000s that that circulated on the internet, especially people, like, in underground communities, you know, like the hacker communities or whatever you want to call them, like the people who would, like, share, you know, music and movies and so on and so forth. For whatever reason, there was also this great fascination with dead people, and I guess, you know what, I'm saying that I don't want to share the specific, because back then you had to go look for these specific things, but now there's total, you know, websites completely dedicated to leaking videos of murders and, you know, people getting shot and killed or jumping off of bridges and whatnot. Whoops. I just played the music really loud. Sorry about that, everybody, if I scared. Happy Halloween. Didn't mean to scare you. but anyway, I watched a lot of those things. I looked at a lot of pictures of people who had been like killed in really terrible ways and even videos of it. And those things are haunting. They're super, super haunting. And again, like then I got older and I got into the faith and I asked myself, what was it about those things that were so appealing? Why did I have such a desire to, or such a curiosity to go and look at those things? You know what I mean? Knowing that they would haunt me, and they definitely haunted me afterwards, you know, and I kept going back to them. But I asked that question, and the thing that I've come up with is that I think that, you know, a lot of people, well, I think everybody has a desire to know whether or not it's real, whether or not the spiritual realm exists, right? For good or for bad. And it's almost like nerdy or uncool, you know, to believe in God because he's good, he's, you know, he's sweet and genuine and compassionate, I didn't say a real word there. So he's compassionate, you know, loves and kisses and singing sweet songs and so on and so forth. And that's a girly, uncool, not that girls are uncool, but I mean, for guys, it's like, you know,
we're so cool.
We are so cool. Exactly. You are, but not when you're singing and doing, you know, girly cooties stuff, right? Not for guys, not for real guys, that is. So, but I mean, you get what I'm saying? Like that is not cool and hip and so on and so forth. And so, to kind of dive into that world requires a lot of humility, vulnerability, you know, so on and so forth. But to dive into the other world doesn't seem to require those things, and it requires less of you. And it's also, there's a cool factor that's attached to it, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like, again, like if I want to experience love, I will take it in the way that I can get it, you know? And you know, so like, again, for many guys, we know that we can experience love in romantic ways. You know, we can be sweet to a girl. We can, you know, rub her feet, tell her beautiful things and write poetry to her and so on and so forth. But that's not cool. If we're caught doing that in front of our friends, like they laugh and they make fun of us. But if we have sexual conquests, you know, and you know, we go up to a girl and we're like, hey, girl, like, you know, let me get your number. Like, how about let's go out or whatever? And we get the number, we go back and we're like, hey, look, I got her number. Again, like, we're getting what we want, but we're also protecting ourselves with the you know, the cool cloak so that we don't get made fun of and all that stuff. And now people will think we're cool and whatever. And so I think that there's a little bit of that aspect of it, right, where we want to be a part of this, that spiritual realm, you know, that there is something more to life than just, you know, the dirt on the ground, right? Like, I want to know that there is something more after we die. And it, I think maybe just that, this is one part of it. I have other things, but one part is just, it seems to me that it's just cooler to indulge or that idea of, you know, the spiritual realm existing with these horrendous, horrific creatures, and you know, being able, like, I can, mm-hmm. I can put on a costume of a ghost or a, you know, a zombie, right, and walk around, and everybody's like, oh, that's so cool. But if I put on a costume of like Jesus or an angel, I mean, I show up at a party, it's like, unless I'm like doing it to be, you know, blasphemous and make fun of it, you get what,
yeah,
I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's just not,
I mean,
the same.
Get a jetpack so you can fly around, kind of thing.
Well, but that would be cool, but that wouldn't be spiritual.
Nope.
I'm just kidding. Actually, that's not a bad idea. Why didn't I think? Oh, I know why. Because you'd probably kill yourself. Come on, that's, Alicia. Yeah.
It's think very about dangerous. It for a second. Very dangerous.
You'd burn the house down. To have a jetpack, you need jet fuel. Probably.
That's not yes. cool. That's really, really hot.
So, yeah, you'd, I mean, there? Now what you can,
now you got it.
What you can do is you can get one of those jetpack things that shoots water at a super high speed, and you go into, like, a lake and just...
There you go.
But then you'd have to, like, invite everybody out to the lake just to... And if you're not near a lake...
Sounds like a great excuse for a social gathering.
Lake party. Halloween lake party.
Lake party. Halloween lake party.
So, you'd probably still take yourself out.
It'd be cold. It's getting cold. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Cold for the lake.
So, but what do you think? Is that...
I'd say that's right. Now, I can't say why. What I'm thinking is, why is it so cool to, like, I mean, even at the time, Jesus wasn't very cool. He was mocked and chastised and persecuted. And I don't know, I guess it's just the devil enticing us in different ways, because in reality, Jesus is the coolest, but we're being shown that.
Well, I guess it depends on what you mean by cool, right? And I think what most people mean when they say cool is not the same as good. What they mean, to me at least, is they mean the word cool to many people means the benefit of good without the sacrifice that's attached to good, right?
Yeah.
So that's why...
Well, I think we need another word here.
Good? I don't know. But even good is used wrong, too. So even love is used wrong. So the problem isn't that we need another word. It's just that we need to really, you know, spend time thinking about what these words actually mean. And I don't know, whatever. So, but the point is that, I mean, I don't know. I think that's part of it, right? Is that there's a cool factor to being... a part of the spiritual realm or indulging, you know, like diving into the spiritual realm. And I guess the other part of it too is that in our searching for the truth, we again ultimately I think we do want to know, even if we don't call it that, right? Like we don't say, well, that we're searching for truth when we, no different than, you know, it wasn't, we used to think that G.K. Chesterton said this because somebody quoted it one time and I remember I quoted it incorrectly one time, but somebody else once said that every man who knocks on the door of a brothel is looking for God. So and a brothel is a prostitution house if you didn't know that. So every man who is having sex, you know, with prostitutes searching for that the fulfillment of those desires of physical intimacy, the church would say that that man is searching for God, and that person may not know it and he may not see it as that, but that's really what's going on there, right? And so I think again, when people are fascinated with evil and you know, like indulging themselves in that, ultimately they're searching for God. They're searching for right. the, you know, the answers to, is there more to life, you know, more after death? They may not call it that, but that's what I think it is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because if you think about it, like, can you, if you prove the negative, then the positive also, you know, becomes true or at least believable. So in this case, the negative would be, is there life after death? You know, the answer is yes in both cases. Like in one case, you know, there's evil, right? So there's hell. But if there's hell, well then, okay, then I can believe that there's a heaven. Because if there's a spiritual place where people are tormented after death and they don't just die and go into the dirt and never are aware, you know, that they're actually dead, if there is some kind of existence after death in this dark realm with the devil and evil and all of those, you know, scary things, well then the other part becomes, you know, at least easy to believe, if not, you know, true, because I don't know how there's just a hell and not, you know, the heaven or whatever, right? So I think that sometimes people are also desperate to find out, like, you know, again, are ghosts real? Or is that part of it real? Because if I can, at least if I can experience that as being real, because there are people who actually search for ghosts and hunt ghosts and want to go to places that are haunted and so on and so forth, right? But if that becomes real to me, well, then maybe that's my open door to, again, you know, this question of, you know, what's life all about and is there life after death? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, they're missing the mark, like you said. They're looking for Panera, but
No, you know what? It's Ruth's Chris, okay? Some steakhouse okay, or something all right, like that. Okay, because I would never look for Panera. Sorry.
I would. Actually, that sounds pretty good right now.
All
right.
Well, you and I differ. So, but yeah, all right. So, I don't know. Anything come to your mind initially, like there? I want to hear some of your thoughts. I don't want to dominate the whole conversation unless you don't have.
Yeah. I think that's why overall everything that we've talked about on this episode, I think overall our theme tonight has been, if I could title this episode, it would be, I mean, that's why Halloween has gotten so big, is because we're looking so hard. And I mean, not necessarily that we're going the wrong way, because there's some very involved people in the church, very holy people. And this is just kind of a foretaste, maybe. Foretaste.
No, I think that's okay. Right. I mean, I think that's it. Like, people are looking for a taste, right? In Halloween, they get their taste of what it's like to be a spiritual person. You know, to actually, I mean, it's the wrong kind of taste. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's like having burnt crumbles from a juicy steak. But I mean, I guess if you're that hungry for a taste, you know, maybe the burnt crumbles at least give you some kind of sensation on your tongue. I don't know.
Man, I'm so hungry now.
I know. I want a steak. Here's I guess the last thing, and then we can kind of talk about some positive stuff that, well, I don't, it doesn't have to be the last thing, but did you have some other stuff you wanted to discuss?
Nope.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm hoping this kind of leads us into a little bit of a discussion on the church and the good stuff, right? Because again, it's not just about being down on the things that are not good for people, but also showing, okay, well, there's also something greater here. And you brought this up earlier, what, you know, the church has All Saints Day, the day after Halloween, and again, it's there to invite people to the truth. Because if your question is, or if your desire is to search for, you know, is there a metaphysical world? Is there something beyond what we can see and hear or what have you, right? Is there life after death? Well, the church tells you yes. And in fact, how about this? We'll celebrate life after death, you know, the immediately the day after, right? And so on Halloween, where everything becomes dead, where everything darkens, the very next day the church will come out and proclaim, you know, the light and say, okay, well, everything that was once dead, you know, that lives in God, is alive again. And this is where we have All Saints Day, right? Which is a really cool idea. The church, you know, specifically, the church is demonstrating that Christ gives life to death, right? That he can resurrect that which is dead. And we can think about this in our faith, right? Not just literally your body when you die can you be resurrected, but your faith can be resurrected. And this is kind of the meaning of All Saints here, is that we're celebrating the fact that those who have gone before us, who have died, are joyously celebrating with God. And this is the answer to our question, is there life after death? Yes, there is life after death, but there is also death after death, right? And so here's the thing, right? You always have a choice between really two things, you know, good or evil, life or death. In these, sorry, in these situations, you sort of have a choice between Halloween and All Saints, you know, and that doesn't mean that you can't celebrate Halloween in a good way, but that's essentially the choice that the church is presenting to you here by, you know, sitting All Saints Day right next to Halloween, because, you know, many people look forward to Halloween. Yeah, the kids look forward to it for candy, but a lot of people look forward to it again to indulge in the, you know, the culture of death, you know, like to celebrate. For whatever reason, you know, we don't think of it like this. We don't call it this, but it is. It is what it is, and it should be called what it is, right? But we celebrate death. We celebrate murder. We celebrate, again, serial killers and, you know, grotesque things. We celebrate possession, demonic possession. We like things, you know, evil things coming to life and never, you know, that never should, like ventriloquist dummies. And they could have been the cutest little sweetest things, but they got overtaken and I can't do ventriloquist dummies anymore. We've never buy one and never have it in our house because I'm pretty sure, well, because you know why, right? If the devil wanted to mess with me, that would be the way to do it. But I mean, this in Halloween, this is what we celebrate. And All Saints Day, what we celebrate is the people who gave life to the world in a certain sense, right? Who allowing God to work through them were the tool for life to bring love to people. And so in that we celebrate things like love and charity and sacrifice and, you know, marriage and holy orders and so on and so forth. We celebrate the good that also has the sacrifice attached to it, you know, not just the good that's trying to avoid the sacrifice or what have you to be cool. And so that's ultimately, I think, the choice that you have there is which one do you really desire? You know, is it death after death or is it life after death? Don't settle for the burnt crumbles in Halloween, right? You know, that's what I think a lot of people are doing is they're getting their kicks out of Halloween and you know, being a part right. of that kind of deathly culture or what have you, because it is a taste of something. Mm-hmm. But don't settle for that. You don't have to, right? There's something so much greater presented to you in the church. And so if, you know, if that's something that, again, you are not a part of, then I want to personally invite you to say, hey, you know, if you have those questions in your heart, well, then don't, you know, search in the right places. The church has those answers for you.
Yeah, I have nothing to add to that. Well said.
All right. all right. Well, let me ask you this. We have 3 minutes left. Do you have a favorite saint or favorite kind of saintly story?
Yes, I absolutely love Saint Maria Goretti, and just a little bit about her. Have you heard of her before, Marcus?
I have, absolutely.
Okay, so for anybody who has not heard of her before, she was. It was 11 or 12 when she passed away. She was brutally murdered. She's from Italy, if you can't tell by her name. And she lived in a little Italian town, helping her family work on their... It was essentially a farm, but working the land with her family and some very close neighbors. One of her neighbors... brutally stabbed her and attempted to rape her, and she, even to, I don't want to say to her death because she didn't die right away. She was taken to the hospital to get medical attention, but essentially the entire time that he was assaulting her, she was trying to tell him, and I cannot remember his name right now. I want to say it was Alessandro.
Alejandro, something like that, yeah.
Something like that.
I thought you had it right first time, but I don't remember.
Yes. And she said, you know, no, this is a sin, what you're doing, and I won't allow it. She didn't give in to him, and she ended up
You mean to the
dying.
To the rape. Yeah, so.
Right. And she ended up dying the next day.
But... I believe, and I'm pretty sure I'm recalling this correctly, but before she died, she actually forgave him. She told, I think, her mom or somebody.
Yes, she told her mother. And then what happened was her I mean, he was, let's say it was Alessandro. I'll have to go and double check that. Or if any of our listeners know, then let us know. But he was imprisoned for a couple decades, actually, but was released early, actually, a few years early. Not only due to good behavior, he saw St. Maria Goretti in a dream, and she brought him 12 lilies, 12 white lilies in this dream, and told him that she forgave him. And the 12 lilies were indicative of the 12 stab wounds that he inflicted on her. This is getting a very long story, but anyway, the point is that he ended up going to Maria's mother and asking her for forgiveness, which it's incredible if you can imagine, especially if you have children. She did forgive him, and St. Maria Goretti was canonized a saint while Alessandro and her mother were still alive, and so they actually went together. And I believe Alessandro was either blessed or also a saint after the fact. I have to look that up as well, but that's just a little bit about St. Maria Goretti. Did I get any of that wrong, Marcus?
I mean, no, the gist of it, I think, is absolutely correct. I mean, the funny thing is that, again, like, we're not talking about Halloween here. We're not talking about, you know, we're not trying to talk about scary, creepy stories or anything like that. But we're talking about a story of, you know, a real story of a person who was brutally murdered. But ultimately, you know, in there is a story of somebody trying to protect her purity, and also of great forgiveness. And, you know, the act of charity, of forgiveness from Maria herself and also her mother, and then the conversion of heart experienced by the man who killed her. And these are things that, again, like, I think ultimately this is what people are thirsting for. This is the truth that their hearts desire to know, you know, that this kind of supernatural stuff is real, right? When we when we are searching, I think this is the wholesome food that we really desire, that makes us feel good after we eat it, as opposed to the greasy fries, you know, that again may cure the appetite temporarily, but ultimately do damage to our body and might even make us feel sick, right? So we'll sign off on this. I think that ultimately, if Halloween is your thing, and you, or if you love, if you're into, you know, scary, spooky, or over the top grotesque type stuff, then what I would say is that, you know, my belief is that sometimes, you know, many of us go through life feeling normal and wanting to feel something more than normal, right? Wanting to experience life in a way that's more meaningful than, you know, just what we have on a daily basis. But you don't have to be scared to feel alive, right? You don't have to feel that threatening, that threat of death to feel like you're actually alive. You can experience that in a much greater capacity through great love, right? Even sometimes hearing stories of great sacrifice and great love make us feel alive. But I can tell you, more than anything, acts of great love make you feel more alive than you can ever feel. And those are the times that it's easiest to believe that there is a God, you know, to believe in this supernatural world that the church presents to us, when we are willing to sort of put our lives on the line, to sacrifice our lives. So when we're, you know, called to some kind of death, it may not be a physical death, it could be some kind of spiritual or emotional death. But some people who are called to physical death, again, like, even the prospect of it is something that helps you to project yourself to that spiritual realm where your desires ultimately are aimed for. And so the question is, are you going to be a person who aims accurately and hits the target, and experiences the fulfillment of all your desires? Or are you going to settle for shooting short and eating crumbles, burnt crumbles, you know? I think the church has something greater for you, and my desire is that you aim high and you hit high. So, Alicia, thanks for joining me again. I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure talking to you. So, Say hi to the person in the back of the camera there. All right. Nobody can see that, but she waved. All right, Alicia. Have yourself a great Halloween. Anything else?
Nope, that's it. All right, I'll see you guys next week.
Okay. Bye, Alicia.